And the Department of Public Health has worked with parks for some time, but looking at playground safety. We've done that over about 10 years period. But in the past couple of years, we really started looking at programs and how we can coordinate and cross-pollinate. We also have worked with our California Parks and Recreation Society for many years, advocating for us and seeing how we can increase physical activity. Nina Gordon will be talking for the majority of this presentation, and Nina's the Senior Policy Coordinator for the California Department of Parks and Recreation, otherwise known as a State Parks Department. So really briefly, I just wanted to give you an overview of the big picture statewide stuff, what we're doing around obesity prevention, PA nutrition, and we have an obesity prevention plan that was created about 5 years ago, and then Governor Schwarzenegger has really taken it to the next step and created some 10 steps for healthy living and a vision for California. And the yellow are the highlighted ones that are PA specific. So we're really pleased to see out of the 10, about half are PA focused. And that has given us some power to go to our other agencies and work across departments. Basically, the state plan is really got four key parts. Of course, we're looking at working with our sister agencies and like transportation and housing, as well as Parks and Rec, Department of Education, and coordinating with them. We're also looking at changing the social norm and doing a heavy social marketing campaign, and of course community makeovers in about six different sectors, of course community, schools, entertainment and industry, and healthcare and work sites. And then lastly, what we do best in public health is measuring the change and evaluating. So having said that, now Nina is going to come up and tell you why it has been important for her and the folks at Parks and Rec to partner with us, what they see as very valuable in what public health can do. Nina?
Thank you, Lisa. This is really an historical time for those of us in parks because it's very rare that we have the opportunity to speak to all of you as health professionals, and we're really excited about it, and we hope this will continue for a long time. As Lisa said, we've really started to recognize the real benefits of working together, something that you probably already realize, but we're catching on to as well. Thank you. Technology is not one of them. I'm afraid to use the computer. We first started working together. We put together a symposium last year, and it was something as simple as planning a symposium together. It just opened up a whole set of new doors for us. And as I go through this presentation, I'll throw out some ideas that you might be able to use as well in your communities and hooking up with parks people. And just putting this on and planning it together, we didn't just invite the health professionals to come speak. We really sat down with Lisa and some of her colleagues and planning it and seeing what to talk about. And since then, we've developed a whole series of ongoing partnerships. But the whole idea here is how parks can get people healthier, which sounds like a no-brainer, but it was one of the first times we really sat down together rather than it's sort of us talking about them or vice versa. And everybody walked away with a lot of new knowledge. We're sort of working on some initiatives I'll tell you about. So when you work with your parks people in your communities, these are some of the things that they're working on. So you sort of know some of the language or some of the initiatives that we have on our forefront. One of them, as you may have heard of, is this Children in Nature movement. And one of the catalysts of that is Richard Louv. How many of you have heard of Richard Louv? Some of you have. Well, he wrote a book, Last Child in the Woods, and the tagline is Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder, and which actually he admitted wasn't a line he really wanted to use. He does not consider this a disease, but his publisher thought it would be catchy, and his publisher was totally correct. It's really caught on, that kind of phrase. And this is a quote from the book, but I really recommend that you might want to look at it and read it. Or at least look through it. He has some very good information. He interviewed hundreds and hundreds of parents and families about getting kids outdoors. And, of course, the whole premise or the whole consequence of doing that is to be healthier in all ways, mind, body, and spirit as well. And when I have a longer period of time, I do something very dangerous, and that is have people close their eyes, which I'm not going to do right now, but close their eyes and think about your childhood and how many of you sort of started out and playing outside in some kind of natural environment, even in an urban setting where your parents like kicked you out the door and said, come back at dinner and just go out and play. And that doesn't happen too often now, but that's the concern, that we're raising a whole generation of kids who are disconnected from the natural world. And we're extremely concerned about that as park professionals, because we see the whole future of protection of natural resources in danger, because we're the whole generation that doesn't realize the importance of these areas. But we also see the real critical element of a whole group of kids now, a whole generation who aren't participating in that active play in a natural environment, and we really see that a direct consequence of that is what you're dealing with every day, and that is growing obesity epidemic and diabetes and all these other ailments, health ailments we're seeing. So one of our partners was a cartoonist who does Wee Pals, who got very interested. He grew up in an urban setting himself, Maury Turner, but got very enthralled in this whole issue and volunteered to do some cartoons for us. And so that's one of the ones we use to promote our program. This is a tool I want to go through quickly that's really catching on, the Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights. It started in California, but you can use it in any state, and it's meant to be adapted to any situation, and nonprofits, private organizations, as well as public agencies are using this. The whole idea is to look at the child as a whole child and get them more active and healthier and increase their opportunities to take part in these activities. It sort of is a catchy phrase, but it really helps build a framework for your activities you're doing now or to build on new activities. And as you can see, the whole idea behind it is to get kids outdoors and active. And it was started by a group that, again, you can emulate this in other states as well, but it's been very, very, very successful, and that is the California Roundtable on Recreation, Parks, and Tourism. And as the name implies, we have some common threads. And basically, it's a volunteer organization, purposely non-bureaucratic. And we get together about 3 or 4 times a year just to share what we're doing and our ideas and help promote initiatives that we all feel are important. And we collectively put together this Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights. And now, for the first time, we have the health community joining us. Lisa's a regular member of the roundtable and active, and it's wonderful to be working with the health community on this as well. And again, some of our missions are to make sure that it's fun. You can't have anything successful unless it's fun, especially with kids. That we involve the family, because the family is a very important element, and kids don't come if the families aren't involved. And all recreation providers, and now we want to certainly increase it to health providers. And it's really important to be adaptable. It isn't just for one type of organization or venue. And so I'll quickly go through these 10 activities. Now, these are purposely general in nature, so they can be used in any urban, rural, suburban type setting, any socioeconomic class, any kind of group, so they can be adapted to your situation. So as you go through, think about how you might be able to use this in your particular community or group. And again, this can be any state, it doesn't have to be California, but we feel it's important for kids to understand their past. We play splash in the water. We didn't say splash in the ocean because not all kids are going to make it to the ocean, but kids love water. If you go to any campground or any setting at all, if there's a creek, that's where you'll find the kids. I still think there's this little magnetic chip in the kids that, you know, it's attracted to water or something, but they throw rocks, they build dams. It's a really great way to get kids active. Play in a safe place. Again, the two operative words here are play, which we all know is important and leads to more activity, and safe. You know, kids need to be safe, and so whatever environment that is. Camp under the stars. Again, we pick these 10 activities because we know there's empirical evidence showing their benefit to kids, and we show that camping helps promote family bonding, self-esteem, sense of leadership. And again, this doesn't have to be out in a forest way far away or a state park or a national park. It can be in your local park. It can be your backyard. But giving kids that experience to be outdoors and sleeping in a tent or not in a tent, depending on the weather. Again, the whole idea of explore nature, again, this is general, but you can do a lot of different activities under this. But the whole idea of exploration, dealing with that natural curiosity that kids have, let them kind of lead the way, which is a real important part of this. We as grown-ups tend to structure things too much for kids sometimes and tell them what to do. Here's a chance to let kids kind of lead the way and explore on their own as well. And this one picture with the little girl and the ranger, this is in downtown Los Angeles in one of our state parks. This is a snake on the hat. And the girl was afraid to touch a snake, but she'd have it on her head. So that worked out well. Learning to swim, we put this in here because we felt that, you know, this is a really important safety factor. There's a study done by Aquatic Adventures here in San Diego. The Times said that 90% of inner city kids did not know how to swim. And obviously that has some real problems to it. So we really felt that was important. So we put that in as one of the 10 activities. Play on a team. Again, this doesn't have to be a structured team. Obviously organized sports is really beneficial. I have a son who just lives and breathes for sports. But kids also need unstructured time as well. So it could be any kind of team activity where kids feel like they have a sense of belonging and sense of a group. And so here's like a tug of war. This one with the two girls are sort of doing a relay race. So it could be any kind of activity. But again, they get active and they bond at the same time. Follow a trail. And again, this doesn't have to be a long trail. It can be just your little community trail. It can be a way of promoting trails. I've already heard through various sessions here in the conference and also at lunchtime, people talking about communities wanting more trails. Well, here's a way to help promote that. Using this as a tool, you can say, well, we need to provide this activity. There are no trails. We need to build a trail to be able to develop this Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights. It's another way to sort of get that community activism going. And we all know trails are an extremely important way to get everybody active, including kids. I haven't met a group more passionate, I think, than people who fish. And this is another way of getting partners. We have angler groups coming out, providing free fishing equipment, free instruction, getting kids involved, and they just love it. And the last but not least, celebrate your heritage. Again, there are a number of sessions throughout this conference, too, about working with various types of organizations and groups and ethnic organizations throughout in the state. California is a melting pot, but a lot of other states are as well. We feel it's just as important for kids to be able to be proud of their heritage, understand their heritage, and share it with other kids as well. So this is one of the 10 Outdoor Bill of Rights. And just quickly, as this has been endorsed by Governor Schwarzenegger, which is a big shot in the arm as well, of course, but also the California Council of YMCAs, a number of city and county parks, as you can see, and the list is growing constantly. What groups are doing is they're actually having endorsements and resolutions to endorse this, and I can tell you how to get this. So you can use this many ways. You can do different activities with it. We had an activity in Los Angeles. They all had T-shirts. I won't ask one of you to model in interest of time, but the kids wore these, and they participate in these activities. And stepping back a moment, when you're working with your park agencies, I just want to mention that they're not all the same. There's many different kinds of park agencies, and often they're kind of lumped together, but sort of going in order of size, starting with the federal, state, regional, county, city, and district. The most common ones are the federal, state, and city ones, and county as well. Regional and district parks aren't found everywhere, but each one has their own kind of bureaucracy and their own people involved, but they're all important to work with, and very often we don't communicate much between our park districts either. That's our park agencies, and that's one thing we want to do more of. So, you know, as you can expect, parks provide a lot in terms of venues, sense of place, and all sorts of infrastructure. And we were mentioning before about the economic times being hard. Here we have a lot of free fitness areas. You don't have to join 24-hour fitness or fill-in-the-blank fitness organization. You can just go to your local park, and very often they're free or low-cost activity programs. So this is a good place to turn to. And again, in addition to the programs, there's a lot of staff the parks already have organized through their volunteer programs. We have thousands of volunteers alone in state parks, but a lot of organizations have them as well that you can take advantage of. And we did a study of youth, and these were some of the activities that they like to do. So we have some data that we provide, but I must say one thing we learned from this symposium I mentioned before that we really, really appreciate from the health community and will be pursuing is your data. You have much greater resource, many more resources than we have in state parks in terms of collecting data, doing the analysis, doing the assessments, and that's a partnership where if you approach your park agencies, you can really provide, and they'll be very interested in, because that's something we're really lacking in parks, is methodology to assess what we're doing. We're great at doing things, but we're not good at assessing how successful they are. I'm sure there are exceptions, but I'll. And this is an example of some of the programs that are going on, anywhere from kayaking. This is a partnership with PALS, Police Athletic Leagues. These are some of our programs in our local county parks. And this quickly is some of our state park programs. Again, your park agencies would be very eager to share what they have and promote what they have with you in their programs, and then you can be looking at how you can work with them. So just quickly, in the back of the room are some of these brochures. I'll go through quickly. Please pick them up. Our hike program, our beach play day is an opportunity for kids to get out. Our junior lifeguard program is sort of a summer camp for lifeguards where they become very active. Another thing we're working on that you can work with your park agencies is the idea of unstructured play areas. Again, we have a lot of structured areas, but we're looking at unstructured areas. This is a model here you'll see in the corner. And we're looking in our own parks for other areas, natural areas we can use for unstructured play. And there's various initiatives countywide as well. And the last thing I'll mention, I'll quickly go through the last slides, is just this prescription for health. And this is something we could really work with the health community on, where you go to a doctor who prescribes, instead of medicine, blood pressure medicine, so on, which may be necessary for some folks, but to go out and take a hike instead. And San Luis Obispo County, for example, put that into an actual prescription. So these are examples of some partnerships with cities and counties where they've worked with the health community. And I'll just end with some organizations here that the National Park and Rec Society Association, for National Parks, the State Parks Foundation, the California Park and Recreation Society are all federal, state, and local organizations. Each of your states has something equivalent to a park and rec society for your local parks. And these are examples of some park-related resources, just a few samples of those. So we're going to open it up to questions, but these are some of the possible partners we can all work with and partnerships.
One quick question before we move on to the next speaker. Yeah, back there.
Have you had much success involving adolescents in these programs?
The question was involving adolescents. Yes, we have a program specifically for adolescents called Outdoor Youth Connections, which targets that age. And where they go through leadership training, and then they go back to their community and take other young people outdoors in some kind of activity as well. And that's worked out really well.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, our next and final speaker is Henry Herrera, and Henry is the director of the HOPE Collaborative, which is one of nine Kellogg Foundation projects with the goal of creating systemic change in Oakland's food and physical activity environment. So, Henry.